WAYT. Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody. 88.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Prepared to talk to you from John chapter 1, verse 1 and 14, entitled was the message, Christ the Word. But the Holy Ghost keeps nudging me to finish the message I started at 8:30. So I want you to turn your Bibles to the familiar text of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Hebrews chapter 7. Let me back up, if you will, to verse 23. Recorded are these words. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated for just a little while. I want to talk about Jesus, the middleman, part two. Jesus, the middleman. Part two, whether you make it personal, whether or not you have an experience with him firsthand or not, it does not negate the fact that he is still the middleman. There are some things that we need to understand in this word, because when we look at verse 11 on through verse 22, they literally deal with him being a surety of a better testament, of a better covenant, of a better promise. And when you recognize that, the Bible makes clear when we read the last two verses that I shared from 11 to 22nd, verse 21 says, for those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Melchizedek being the priest who had no beginning and no ending, Jesus being even greater than he, forever would be again this surety. Verse 23 says, and they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. In other words, because life had a life expectation and a life limitation, priests only served during the course of a lifetime. But this priest had the ability to serve an endless and unlimited term. And the Bible says, verse 24, but this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Now, one of the reasons why you realize they're saying that it's an unchangeable priesthood, it is because of the eternity that's wrapped up in this priest. That laws had to change because the priests changed, and because they could not serve continually, God fashioned the law. They could end the men to be able to deal and live according to that law. But Jesus was the only one who was before the law, who was above the law, and who could go beyond the law. And so then when we get to this word, verse 25, where it says, wherefore he is able. I could park right here, put the emergency brake on, and just talk a little while about the he is able. And I think right about now I ought to have somebody who knows that Jesus, you've been in some situations where if it had not been for the Lord, you've been in places in your life, if the Lord hadn't shown up, if the Lord hadn't answered, you know some things that would have gone wrong, you've done wrong, said wrong, but the Lord stepped in. You know he is able, because where you are right now, you are by the grace of God and the ableness of the Lord. So somebody ought to be a witness when I say he is able. There are some things you're dealing with you wouldn't even be here to deal with if he weren't able. Matter of fact, your hope is in the fact that when he shows up, what you can't handle, he will be able to. He is able. Now look at this, because when you understand the ableness of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't question the reality of his power or the purpose of his plan, because you know ultimately he's going to bring it to pass. See, that's where the faith in knowing him and who he is and what he's able to do benefits the believer. When we understand wherefore he is able, you look back over your life, and if you take a list and start jotting down all the things he has done, and then on the other side of the list, jot the things he couldn't do, I can promise you one side will be overfilled and the other side will be empty. Because there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Now, whether or not you got faith to believe him, whether or not you got faith to hold on to it, whether or not you got faith to walk in the promises is another story. But there is no weakness in his ability. Matter of fact, some of you have been waiting on a blessing and it seemed like it just won't come. Can I tell you, don't give up on the ableness of God. Know that his timing is perfect. He knows the beginning, the end, and all the middle. He knows every connection and every concern. What you've got to learn to do is trust him and know he is well able. If time would permit me, I could walk from Genesis all the way through Revelation, pulling out example after example of the faithfulness of God. But I just believe I've got some witnesses here that'll say, Pastor, that's not necessary. I know for myself he is able. Look at what this word says. Look at what this word says. It says he is able also. Oh, so. In other words, what might be an experience and or inability of others, it's no match for Jesus. What others cannot do, he throws also in for just good measure. In other words, it literally highlights and spotlights the fact that there is no other way that we could know God the Father in the way that God chooses us to know him if it weren't for Jesus. So his ability to do everything else does not limit him to do this also. Listen to what he's able to do. I want you to see this. To save them to the uttermost. Now, I want you to recognize something. I'm going to come back and share a little bit about the word about them, but it says to the uttermost. So what this literally says is you have no excuse concerning your salvation. In other words, you can't fall too low. You can't run too fast. You can't be too dark and black with sin covered your, when sin has covered your life. You can't have issues too bad where Jesus cannot reach you. You can't be that doped up. You can't get that drunk. You can't have that much perversion and wickedness in your life where the Lord cannot reach you if you want to be reached. When it says he is able to save them to the uttermost, it means the far-reaching ability of God is limitless. Wherever you are, He is there already. You can never outrun His circumference. And so it literally means high up or low down. Wherever you are, He will meet you right there. That's why it takes away every excuse the enemy tries to give you for not being saved, for not being right. Can I tell you, you can't be right without Him. You can't get it right without Him. You can't be saved without Him. You can't let it alone, them alone, all the mess alone until you accept Him. He's the only one who can help you get it right. Some folks think, well, you know, I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to play with the Lord. When I get myself together, then I'm going to come to church. You know when that's going to be? When you're dead. And they're going to roll you up in here, and I got news for you. You're going to leave church and already be looking from hell to see yourself if you do not accept Him before the blood runs cold in your veins. So it takes away every defense the enemy has of you not being able to be saved, because it says that He saves them to the uttermost. We like to term it guttermost. Let you know it don't get too dirty, too nasty. The muck and the mire doesn't matter to Jesus. He's not ashamed to get His hands. He'll reach way down. And some of us, He had to reach way, way, way down. You can sit here and act pretty and cute if you want to, but I'm so glad He's got all of our records, and we ain't always been what we are, and we're not yet what we're going to be. So somebody ought to say amen, preacher. I think that's one of the problems when folk come to be saved and they see the folk who are saved. The folk who are saved act like they ain't never needed saving. They sit there with the pious looks on their face and noses all quenched up and squinched up and act like they've been saved, hallelujah, all their lives when they've been some of the biggest hellions in the street. That's why some folk won't come to our church, because we here. And still acting like we are unsaved. Yeah. And so we need to be able to say, yes, I've been saved by the mighty hand of the Lord. And He reached down and picked me up, and I'm not ashamed to say where I am. The Lord brought me. What I know, the Lord taught me. Where I'm going, the Lord will take me. And I'm just glad to be a child of the King. I have a witness in the house. But listen, my brother, my sister, let's look at this word, because if He's able to be this kind of Savior, this kind of mediator, listen at this. Bible says, seeing. Now that means somebody needs to keep their eyes on the Lord. Seeing. He ever liveth. But what is He living ever for? To make intercession for them. He's ever living, and we ought to be seeing Him living ever to help us out. That's why already, I know I said Jesus the middleman, but right now you ought to be to say, Pastor, Jesus, my middleman. Because what He's already done for me is already testimony enough of the fact that He is my middleman. Well, let's cover some of it, because maybe you don't understand what a middleman is, what a mediator is. First, let me give you a few things to understand about what a mediator does. First, a mediator is a sponsor, a guarantor, or a surety. Verse 22 tells us, again, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. Matter of fact, Jesus is the surety. He is the guarantor that this testament is going to be better than the Old Testament. that this testament has better and new and greater promises, and Jesus is the one who's backing it up. He's the surety. In other words, you can sure enough know it's gonna happen just like he said, because he's there to back it up. Well, look at what else it is. It means, as a mediator, he was a man who paid bail for another person's appearance in court. Now, you know, in this earthly realm, you have to, when there's a crime done and they are awaiting the trial, etc., they set a bail depending on the crime. And upon the payment of that bail, can you be released from jail, from prison, or from withholding? But listen at this. You got to realize that sometimes courts can set bails so high that bail can't be met. But aren't you glad that Jesus, in the spiritual court of God, when Satan has already come against you and heaven's high court has already set bail, Jesus has already placed your bail. And here's the reason why you can wake up in the morning, go about your day, do the things that you've done, and not be on house arrest. It's because the Lord done already paid your bail. And here's what you need to know. Every time the devil presents his information against you, it ain't all wrong. See, I didn't get too many amens there. We won't act like we're perfect, never sinned, never messed up. There are some days when the devil presents some stuff before God and he's absolutely on it. Oh, I wish I had a witness. I need you to know the devil is watching you. Tell your neighbor the devil is watching you. Listen, not only is God watching you, but the devil is watching you so that when he shows up the court, he's got his folder with all of the video ready for replay so he can tell God, you were this and that, did this and that, and now God, what you have to say. And because we're not there in heaven's court, we have a mediator who's already our advocate. And I told you, he's the middle man. And so as a result of that, he steps up, opens up his folder, because one of the things that I'm glad about, every bit of information Satan has in his file, Jesus has got in his file. So the devil can't hook him up, can't trick him up, can't trap him up. He knows what he's going to say when it comes his time. And even when the devil is right, he has to say, Your Honor, the devil is right this time. But you know the devil is a deceiver, so that's why he didn't tell you the whole truth. And the whole truth is, Your Honor, though he is guilty, though she is guilty, they repented. And what he forgot to tell you is I showed him the receipt that their sins were paid in full. And you know the honor said, thank you, sir. Case. Oh, have anybody ever had a case dismissed? Oh, listen. The Bible says, and as we're clear about Jesus being our intercessor and this mediator, that's something else you need to know about a mediator. He's also guaranteed, or he is the cosigner for a debt. If a man borrowed money from a bank, he had to find a guarantor who was, listen at this, ready to pay his debt. I'm so glad that the reason I got what I got is because Jesus co-signed my stuff. Some of y'all sitting there act like you got good credit. I got to tell you, up in heaven's bank, it's a different scoring system. And if Jesus, listen at this, don't co-sign your loan, God ain't making it for you. See, you got to realize it has to come from the spiritual realm first before it matriculates into the natural realm. And so if Jesus doesn't put his approval on it, If you don't realize who you are and whose you are, that's why he told Peter, I'm giving you the keys to the kingdom. Yes, yes. And whatsoever you bind on earth, I'm the middle man, I'm gonna bind it up in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'm the middle man, I'm gonna loose it in heaven. When you speak those things that be not as though they were, I say, Father, he's talking like us. Make it so, because you promised your word would not return unto you void. And when we are walking by faith and speaking those things you have said, God, you've got to back it up. And Jesus is the middleman who reminds us that he's working on both halves. Let me tell you something else about a mediator. A mediator was also an arbitrator, bringing two estranged parties together. And a true qualified mediator had to be able to represent, listen, both parties. He also had the task of reconciliation. So on the one hand, he's representing. There's representation. But the representation is a very unique one because it's representing both parties. Now in the world, that would be what's called a conflict of interest. Jesus is the only mediator who can mediate both parties without there being a conflict of interest. See, what you don't understand is it's because he is God. He is the Son of God. He was deity before he left heaven. So he had 100% God in him when he came down here. He wrapped himself up in humanity, took on the form of the flesh, and lived this life identifying and understanding the struggles and sin issues of man so that he could appropriately deal with man's issues when he represented them to God. He was able to say to God, now God, you know I'm God. But you also know a man, and I have the unique privilege of helping you to understand it from an internal perspective of being both God and man. A man who's never sinned, a man who's never missed the mark, a man who's never disappointed, yet nonetheless a man of flesh and blood. So as to identify and touch with all of the issues and areas of mankind. So when I tell you I understand it, Father, I understand it experientially. So I ain't talking about what somebody told me. I'm talking about I walked it. I talked it. I lived it. And so my brothers and sisters, when we begin to understand how all of this works and when we see how the Lord Jesus Christ as our mediator takes into consideration he's doing this on behalf of God, and he's doing this on behalf of man, and only he could bring two worlds furthest apart. And so he joins them together and he brings our hands together and clasps them together until we work it out. Let's go back to the text for just a minute, because some of y'all are getting quiet on me here. Wherefore he is able, listen, also to save them. Now let's park right here at them for just a minute, because every time I kept reading over this, them just kept popping up saying, say something about me. And I'm like, what you want me to say about them? Said, nah, you need to look into me a little closer, because I'm trying to tell you something more than about them. I read over the text again and it said, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I'm like, them, what are you saying? He says, listen, I need you to become a little more intimate with me. I need you to recognize that them is generalization. But there's more than generalization. I'm not just talking about all the other folk that he's able to save to the uttermost. I'm not talking about all the other folk he is able to make intercession for. He says, I want you to see you in them. He say, spell the word. I say, T-H-E-M. He say, now back up two letters. Well, if you can't spell it, look in your Bible and see T-H-E-M, and then start from the rear and say M-E, stop. He's able to save me to the guttermost. He's able to intercede for me. Listen, my brothers and sisters, and that's what he lives for. If I understood, Jesus is my middleman. Oh, my brothers and sisters, there are some things that's coming your way that you wouldn't be able to take. But thanks be to God, you've got a middleman. Thanks be to God, I've got a middleman. Thanks be to God, the believers have a middleman. And I want you to see something else, because our Lord is the liaison between the Father. He is the deity, listen, the daysman of the deity. He is the intercessor for the imperfect and the conciliator for the carnal. What I'm trying to get somebody to understand is he has given us an opportunity to know he's working on our behalf. Look again at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18 and 19. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Listen now. And had given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing, not counting, not charging their trespasses unto them. In other words, don't you know everything you did, God charged it to Jesus's account?
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport, Greenwood, 92.5.
William Murphy, can you help us sing this?
Thank you, James, for letting me be a part of this. Listen, Exodus 33, Moses says, Father, if your presence doesn't go, we just go up from here. Are you ready for your next level?
Oh, yeah.
If you all say, I need your glow. I want your glow. Here it is. Less of me and more of you. What I need.
Come on, say, show me your glory.
Show me your glory. I'm ready for my next level. Show me your power. Less of me, more of you. What I need. Father, will you help me sing?